This is the Uncover You podcast, and I'm Eva Berunius. I'm here to help you navigate your transformational journey so you can experience the you underneath the conditioning and unconscious beliefs. You always find the show notes over at selfmasteryandbeyond.com. Let's get to the core of things. Here's today's episode.
Addiction to struggle is a real thing. When we've started healing our wounds and start to experience more peace, contentment, more goodness, there might be parts of us that have a hard time holding that goodness, and that starts to self-sabotage. It can be as strong as addiction, but it can also just be an old habit, or that you haven't met with certain shadow parts of yourself that have actually been gaining from feeling like a victim, feeling worthless, feeling small, or whatever it is. So when you're starting to heal things on your inner journey, there will come a time when you need to practice rewiring your system to feel more good, to hold pleasure. That's exactly what we're talking about in this episode in the Uncover You podcast. In this session with Wei, she's experiencing being on the other side. She's been moving through emotions and just throwing tantrums for a month and feeling them. And now there's a sense of, you know, more stable footing, and she's feeling content, at peace, neutral about what used to bring up a big charge, a big activation. And parts of her are kind of asking, so now what? Who are we now? How am I able to hold this when I've been so used to being in survival state? How do I let go of this addiction to it and make this my new reality? We do this inside of being me. We seep this in, digesting the goodness, looking for what's working, feeling pleasure. This is how you rewire this. And you can always put yourself on the wait list for the next year of being me. And if you want a piece of this already now, you can come join us for the death rebirth process happening in December. We'll start in December and then run it a little bit into January. But this is what we do in there. Letting go of that old iteration of you that's been holding on to an old pattern so that you can free up that energy. You know, energy doesn't ever go away or die. It just transforms into something else. So letting go of this shape and form that you've invested your personal power and your energy into so it can take a new shape and form. That is dying. So in this death rebirth process, we make it juicy and fun. You get to meet with the fear of dying, but you also get to meet with these parts that hasn't felt celebrated and honored yet because they were gaining something from the old pattern. And you get to let go of the part of you that has been addicted to stress response, to survival, to feeling bad, to looking for what's not working, so that you can start experiencing yourself in a way that feels good. So it's a very clear process. There will be live sessions. There will be practices to do a little bit daily on your own and really meet with these parts and let them go. So if you want to come join Wei in there, me in there, and everyone else from being me, I've opened up this death rebirth process so that more people can join, because it's such an important piece of the artist's work. If you want to be the artist of your life, come join us. I'll drop a link. And now let's dive into this beautiful conversation with Wei, where she's digesting the things that are feeling good now so that she gets a chance to actually experience that, and looking at how to rewire that old conditioning, that old addiction to suffering.
Hello, good one. Hey there. Good morning. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, amazing.
Sounds lovely. So what's alive in there? What's been moving since our last session? And I know you've been doing Being Me practices and exploring things. So what's been moving and what's alive right now?
It feels so much fun right now. I think mainly because I'm a little bit on the other side of the two-month-long processing.
Yeah.
A little bit what I shared in the coaching group yesterday.
Yeah.
That I've been processing this anger and resentment towards my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like mainly something that happened 2 years ago.
Mm.
And I think I worked on like small parts of it. But parts of me like didn't feel like they can handle it. So it had been waiting in a safe jar, waiting to be taken out and like processed.
Yeah.
And like having the tools now for doing that and having the space for that. I spent a very interesting last month with like some days spent really like 2-3 hours crying.
Yeah.
Like throwing tantrums, which I love. I still think it's one of the most ridiculous things ever, but how amazing it is. Literally opening my music and just throwing the tantrum that I wanted to throw.
Yes.
And it's like, it feels healed now. It feels very clean.
Mm.
And I didn't think this was somehow possible. Like it sounded from the way you were talking about it, and like mm-hmm. some other mentors, like if you process it, they just need to move through you.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like my mind wanted to really complicate it. It's like, it can't be that simple. This is so painful. Like, it's just, it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
But I'm really realizing like, that's kind of it.
Makes my job seem pretty simple, I mean, right?
So not that it's that easy.
No, but, right? But, that's what I keep telling clients. It's like, there's no big secret here. We need to give room for these emotions to be felt.
Yeah.
And the big secret is love, you know, which love takes on so many different expressions. But one is like feeling our emotions, meeting the needs of all these different aspects of us.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, I mean, it's so simple. Why don't we all do it? It's like, I mean, I know of many of the reasons why. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's just.
So if it takes a month to move through something like that, that's been like, sitting as resentment and heaviness and pain and hurt and was it worth it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like it had been impacting the way that I'm showing up in just my life and also in a relationship.
Yeah.
And holding on to the past like there is no now or future,
yeah,
and not doing the things that actually you want to do together because I was still so pissed from that particular time.
Yeah. So is it fair to say that the old way of doing it is actually the complicated thing?
It is. It makes things tangled for everybody involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, like, we have not been taught
to do this. We have been taught and programmed and conditioned to do the complicated thing, to hold on to it, to give it meaning, to run it through the mind 1,000 times, you know, and trying to figure it out, thinking that that's where the answer will be. What's the right decision? What should I do? Should I set boundaries? Should I do, 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 do? And those might be fair questions, but never have we gone into our bodies and processed what we've felt. So it's like, do that, and then you can feel into what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because the whole situation, the whole relationship will usually feel very different after you've done that.
Absolutely. It's so surprising. I mean, nothing really changed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, my partner is also not even physically in this country right now.
Yeah.
But I was still so angry at him while he was not here present. And nothing has changed. But the way I see him, the way, again, I'm loving him so different.
Yes. And there's a piece to this, if we're talking about male-female relationship, and, you know, this is generalizing, but I see this pattern show up again and again. And of course, I see it show up in same-gendered relationships as well, or non-binary. But there's this, like, with the man, often, just to use these words, they are so confused about, like, what is going on with her? Like, what the hell? Like, how can I help? I'll try to give space, but that's not it. I'm trying to help and be there and process the things, but that just seems to, like, have it go deeper. And there's a piece to this that I think we need to talk about more, and that we need to understand, because the way I sense it energetically too is that there are so many female bodies that have suppressed their feminine. And suppressing the feminine will look a little different in men and in women. And in a sense, for a female body, it's somehow like suppressing. It has a bigger cost. Yes, for a male body, it comes with more wholeness when he can do that, and more understanding in the world. And it's like completely, for me, like substantial, necessary to do that. But for a female body, it's like, it's her connection to her pussy, to her womb, to her sex, to her sensuality, to her sensitivity, to her intuition. It's like cutting off almost like to her soul. So when we start to reconnect with that as females, it's usually a very uncomfortable process. Because we pick her up, our inner feminine, if we talk about her as an archetype, when she's 5 or 4 years old and so fucking hurt, which can be humiliating for our grown-up selves as women, because we've been so used and we have our, you know, degree and we have our career and we have all the things, and we've been so kept together and done it, like, so to open up to this hurt part where we behave like children, it's can be so fucking humiliating. And we don't, like, we're fumbling the fuck around, don't know what we're doing, and like
seeing ourselves act this way to our partner and not be able to hold ourselves. And it's like painful. But we somehow know that it needs to happen. But we don't really know what's going to be on the other side. So we're just, yeah, in the swamp. Not knowing if we're ever going to reach like stable ground. And I think this is so important for both men and women and whoever who's doing this journey, and also for men to support a female partner doing this, to understand what she's going through. No, she's not going to be four or five forever, but this is a fucking important process because this is where she left her feminine. And yeah, she's going to be hurt and need so much support and care. And she needs to learn to do that for herself. But he can be there if he's willing to, and he's allowed to set his boundaries with it, to navigate it in a way that feels good for him, to set up time frames for how long we process, to set up like containers also for him to be held during this time, so it's not just her. But I was having a beautiful conversation with a man in a coaching session the other week, and we were, yeah, it was exactly this. He was like, I've never been taught how to do this, how to hold that space, what it is that she needs. So we were doing role playing and just like, can you feel that when you say it this way, like that's how it lands in her body. And if you say it this way, whoo, it lands differently. And then vice versa. Just giving him from the feminine what he is longing for in his masculine, which is often, I trust you. I trust you. I understand that there's been a lot right now. I trust you to take the space that you need if you need to go on your pilgrimage or take a walk or whatever it is, because I need you here resourced. I want you here resourced. So go do that in a way that is important for you. And I'm here. So it's learning like a new language where we're building each other up, where we're lifting each other up instead of tearing each other down in that old wound. Yeah, so that was a bit of a tangent, but I think it helps when we know this and when we have the mind has kind of a map of understanding for what it is that we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely felt the swamp.
Yeah.
Being in that space, I think my swamp has been going on for like 2 years at least now.
Yeah.
And somehow, yeah, exactly, being so embarrassed that, like, especially when we first had my relationship, like, I was going through some challenges in my life, but I still somehow felt or wanted to look like I was like, I got my shit together. Everything is all right. And I'm like, oh, you can trust me. Almost like, yeah, we got center of pressure control, right? So once that, like, angry piss girl like came out, I was also like, this is not me. Like, and is he still gonna love me? Is he still gonna be here? And this old messy, like dirty parts came up.
And then it's so easy to make that part of ourselves wrong.
Yeah.
Too, like with other parts of ourselves and judging it and like, this shouldn't be here and this is what's ruining everything and my old trauma is what's in the way and I'm the one who just, yeah, tearing this relationship apart. And definitely. Then this girl is just going to feel more pissed and more in pain and more misunderstood when what it is she needs is so much understanding and holding and love and acceptance. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just what happened. I just was like, no.
Yeah. What's being felt right now?
Like, how much easier it would have been in the last 2 years if I just accepted all the parts, all the nasty parts, and instead of like keep pushing. And then on top of that, I was acting quite opposite because I was in such denial and just didn't want to be found because I was in identification.
Yeah.
Like, how much easier it could have been for both of us.
Yeah. So is that somehow some remorse or grief or sadness or...
Yeah, a little bit sadness. I mean, it's the like how much I tortured myself, first of all.
Yeah.
It feels like a little bit like wasting precious time that I could have such better time just, my life experience.
Yeah.
And in the way, like, we have such an amazing connection and build something very rare, the way how we also built and started our relationship is very unusual. And, I mean, it could be a way of even getting more connected. And somehow I think that whole also happened. And I think seeing, like, accepting most parts of us. But it could have been more pleasurable, more connecting time as well.
This is desire. This is longing also. When we feel the sadness, I missed something or I lost something, or that points us to desire that we have. It's like the other side of the coin, the other of sadness is often longing, desire, love. So this is a way. I find this so fascinating, and my mind keeps being blown, about how how beautifully orchestrated this seems to be when we get on the other side. When we're not protecting ourselves from pain anymore, and when we're opening ourselves up more for pain because we don't believe in the old story about what pain is and that it's scary and that we need to protect ourselves. No, it is guiding us. So both in, if I don't have that thing I want, it hurts. Right? Which points us to how deeply I long for it. How much I want it.
Yeah.
And it kind of points us back to our soul, our full potential, what we're capable of, what we're meant for. That's why it hurts. I know I can have this. I know I can be this. I know I can embody this. And it hurts when I'm not that.
Absolutely.
It's like in that sense that pain points us back home to ourselves. And it, I think, like today I'm so grateful for my pain, and I still keep reminding my mind when it says the opposite about things showing up in my everyday life to this little human, that sometimes it needs to hurt really bad so that we get motivated enough to shift it. Like, I can't stand it anymore. I need to pick up my mattress and leave.
Yeah.
I think Carolyn Mace has such a beautiful saying about that. Like, some of us are born into the wrong family, the wrong tribe, or we find ourselves there at some point in our life. And we will try to get the thing, what we want, and we will try to fit in. We're not getting it. And that pain and that suffering from that, like, needs to be felt so that we finally pick up our mattress and leave.
I love that example. I love my brain. Like, what it made me think of is me really not belonging to Turkey, the country I grew up in. Yeah. And I tried hard. I tried so hard, but I was just weird. I was too much. I was too open. I was too happy, whatever, like everything.
Yeah.
And then traveling and living in so many different places. And kind of now I'm living in France somehow. And I kind of feel so similar to me being a teenager in Turkey.
Yeah.
And from Turkey, I took my mattress and I was like, I'm up. And here I feel so similar because I so don't belong.
Yeah.
And there's so many similarities between cultures. It's crazy that I sometimes feel like that teenage girl is like, oh, I did this once. Like, what? I know this story. Why do I have to learn this again?
Yeah.
And I'm so looking forward to the day I'm going to take off my mattress. Yeah. And the pain also makes it like I'm studying 2 hours French every day because I'm in the process of getting citizenship. And I'm like, oh, just like, let's get out of this.
Yeah. The place you've worked so hard to belong in and get the citizenship and learn the language. Have them like you, and then yes, that's exactly it. Like the friction, this doesn't fit. Like trying to put on that piece of clothing, and it's like, no,
doesn't fit.
But we're trying, you know, we're starving ourselves or we're building our muscles, something to have it fit, but it's like, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And that friction is a gift because we get to feel ourselves against it. We get to rub up against it and like, oh, what is this about?
Yeah. And kind of even more being attuned to who I am, what I am, because I'm like, okay, I know this is absolutely not it.
Yes.
This is more the other side. I know, I tasted that. I know that.
Yes. Because in a sense, when your teenage girl is saying that, but well, I've done this once, right? Like, shouldn't I be on my, but isn't there a similar process here that what you experienced growing up in Turkey, and then it seemed like it was outside of you. Other people like didn't like you or didn't want you or you didn't fit in. But isn't somehow this process something that you've internalized? So you've kind of treated yourself in a similar way. You've treated yourself in the same way that Turkey did.
absolutely.
Like, you need to have this education and you need to do things this way and you need to fit into this box. So what you rebelled against then, like, became your own inner prison. somehow in one aspect, not in all of them.
Absolutely. I mean, it was both ways. I was like, I don't like this place. They don't like me. Then I was like, I don't like some parts of me.
Yes.
And when I moved to Germany first, I kind of went the complete opposite way of what I was told.
Yes.
Because I was like, oh, I don't like that, so I'm going to do that.
And pendulum swing, totally other direction. Yeah.
And many of the things that I did enjoy, it was a nice experiment.
Yeah.
But after some point, I was like, no, like, this is also not me.
Yeah. But that's what leads the way, right? Like, even if that wasn't the right answer, it's not about that, right? Find it. It's about taking the steps. It's about following that wanting. It's about following the rebellion in that sense and experience something else. And then you'll find out, it wasn't this either. This wasn't the whole answer, but it gave me a piece. It gave me a key to myself or to a room in myself that is now available to me.
And it led me to connection. Now I have with my boyfriend, because I think if I haven't done, I mean, more like, I think in many aspects of my life, but I was thinking more about my relationship with men, like how I was told to be a proper servant growing up and just always make sure the uncles are happy, always make sure your man is happy, feed him.
Yeah.
It's like if a man's heart goes through his stomach, all the stuff. And I was like, oh, why? He has to cook for me too. And then I think the way that I was like, then I can have one night stands as much as I want. Oh, I don't give a feeling about their feelings. They're just buddies to me.
Yes.
And then I enjoyed that so much, because it was also really taking ownership of my own body, my own decisions. That was so juicy. Yes. But then it felt empty. And I was like, I want to connect with them. I see them as human feelings. And I also want, I love cooking for somebody I care about.
Yes.
It's like that, how like that turn me even a couple of years ago. And you're like, they're just bodies. I don't care. It's like, was actually longing for that connection somehow still.
Yes.
But I think I found somehow balance with that. That I enjoy.
And it's like that typical heroine's journey, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you're rebelling and you're leaving the old village and you're like going on your journey and finding yourself. But then somehow full circle, you're coming back home, but home might not be a place anymore. And the things that you resented, like you experience them differently because you've also reinvented them. Like you brought you to it. It's not an empty blueprint container box anymore. Mm-hmm. Like it has a meaning for you.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And I'm so glad that you get to be on the other side of the swamp, because I can, with kind of high certainty, promise you that you will be in the swamp again. Maybe for not sure about this thing, but about something else. But knowing that there is another side then helps. Being in the swamp will get easier and we'll start enjoying it even more, because like, okay, I'm in the swamp. Bring it. I'm going to give room and space for this and time for it and just like move through it, because I know how fucking good it's going to feel on the other side.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there will be many.
So if there were words to describe what it feels like on the other side, just for your body to remember, and your mind to be like, and to digest this a bit. And also for others to kind of bank your evidence and put it in their bank account and like, okay, what what does it feel like to be on the other? When you say you're on the other side, how can you know you're on the other side? Like, what does that feel like to make you say that you're on the other side?
In this particular instant, it felt like I was physically fighting. It was very exhausting. Mm. Mm, maybe you exercise really hard, but then you have an amazing meal and a good night's sleep. Mm. A little bit like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And very neutral. Like my mind is most of the time silent.
Yes.
Yeah. The stories are worked through. It's just very neutral. Yeah, very neutral state.
There's no charge. They're not getting like amped up and like screaming, shouting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, at this moment, it's not even like overly excited about anything. There is some joy, but it's in general very, very calm. Like, very,
yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Ooh, I have one more tip. It's when we're little kids and we have like, if we know that somebody's going to cook for you, you know, when it's mealtime, they're, you know, and they're just like, somebody dressed you up very warm and comfy. Like, yeah. You were just like, okay, take care of me, mother. And you're like playing in your room on a nice, I don't know, blanket or something.
Just yeah.
Like, this guy's doing this, and this is happening. And like,
sounds like contempt. Like,
contempt, yeah.
Yeah. Your belly is full. You're warm. You're taken care of. Yeah. You got what you need. Needs are met.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, maybe tomorrow we go to the park. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll see with mama.
amazing. And this is, you know, when we're in inner turmoil, when we are repeating and reliving our wounds, this is the state that our mind doesn't get to experience, right? That's the stress state. That's the survival state, you know, again and again. And that's what we're experiencing, finding the problems and we need to do this, we need to do that. And what you're describing now is you're not in survival response.
Yeah.
Your needs are met. You're content. It's that sense of like, from here I can thrive. Huh? I don't need to save myself. I don't need to look out for dangers. I'm okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. This is what not survival state feels like.
And it's like, to add on top of it, Eva, it is absolutely that.
Yeah.
And I've been having a serious problem with my right pinky finger for over a year now. Like, it's been stuck and very limited mobility.
Yeah.
It's still like, it's not 100% able to do what other finger is able to.
Yeah.
But it started moving for 1 week. It's like I can't move it. It's like sometimes even coming to the place to kind of like it's supposed to be. Yeah. And I've been doing physiotherapy for like 1 year now.
Yes.
Not super regularly, but yeah.
Yeah. So 1 year of physiotherapy, and who knows, like that might be part of moving this, but
yeah.
When clearing this and when getting out of survival state and feeling safe and feeling content, your pinky finger starts to move again. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad because I kind of came into like, oh, like relaxing. So before I was doing my exercise, but I think I was doing it in like a panic mode.
Yes.
So for 1 week, I started thinking, it's like, come on, baby, you can do this. Like, let's see. Ooh, look at you moving.
I love this.
Yeah. Yes.
this is so often where we're trying to fix our physical bodies or pain in our bodies too. Oh my God, the migraine, I can't live like this. I need to do something about it. Or this pain in my body. Oh my God, I'm going to die from it. I'm not taking care of my body. So yeah. We're pushing to fix ourselves from fear. Yes. When we start to do it from love, that will be very different. Our bodies will respond to it differently. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I am mind blown. Like, it's been almost 4 years, like, since I got a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And it's like, and everything made a big difference, like changing diet, exercise, sleep,
yes, medicine. Of course.
But like, it really was the moment I kind of started to become more relaxed and like, yeah, more out of the survival.
Yeah.
Things started to move, and just finger is just one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. This is what's possible. And so many of, I think, especially like chronic disease or autoimmune or inflammatory diseases, like, are so connected with our emotional states.
Absolutely. I mean, 90% genetic. So I'm a molecular biologist, and
yeah,
of course there's a genetic things, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
No.
And also, of course, lifestyle and food, yeah, and what we're putting in it. But
yeah.
Like, the emotional state will put ourselves in a place, and our bodies in a place where we're so much more susceptible to inflammation, and that we can't, that our bodies can't process food that we might otherwise.
Absolutely.
This is my experience too. Like, 8 years ago, I could barely eat, you know, anything. Mm-hmm. No gluten, no, no lactose, no, like, I, like, okay, this is IBS. My belly would swell up immediately. Mm-hmm. And with doing this work, it's like, no, I can totally eat that now. Mm-hmm. And bringing in more life force, like bringing in, because that's, if we want to talk about it on an energetic level, when we treat ourselves the way we've been treating each other, ourselves, like in that constant conflict, in survival state, we cut ourselves off from life force.
Yeah.
So when that starts to come in, when we have chi, when we have prana moving through our energy centers and in our whole body, like, yeah, we're okay with eating these things that we couldn't before, because we actually have energy to digest it.
Yeah. I love this. This is... So my name originally means something related to like wheat, which has gluten. So I am nature. I am gluten.
Yes, you are.
And how I see it is like the conditioning. Mm. Like, I became so afraid to my own nature. Mm. Even like this much of gluten, like, used to destroy me.
Yes.
And I think it's really just not listening to your needs, not meeting yourself, not just being yourself, is actually what game and attainment condition.
Yeah.
And everything else, environmental toxins, blah, blah, they just accelerated that process.
Yeah.
But it's really, my body started attacking myself because I wasn't listening to myself.
Yeah. A mirror of how you were treating your internal world.
Yeah.
Attacking it, making it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we said, of course, there are other aspects to this of
like wheat and being overly processed and genetically modified so that our bodies don't really recognize it anymore. Like in Italy, I can eat so much bread. Sweden, not the same amounts because we have different kinds of wheat. So there are things like that too, of course. But this is something we can do to heal ourselves. This is the power that we have to shift the inner world. Ah, I love this. I'm so glad that we get to have a kind of celebrating, just digesting a bit, because yeah, you've been doing hard work. So just sitting here a bit and just like basking in that and celebrating how it feels right now and you know, just get to feel that. Super important. Yeah. And is there something that is coming up as a question or a wanting or a desire today for this session? And that can be to keep celebrating and bragging, okay? We can go in any direction.
I mean, obviously, I journal about it 3 million hours before, but I don't know if anything necessary. Actually. And I can sense what you're going to say.
I love that when we reach a point where I don't have to say anything.
I mean, there's still a million things, but yeah. In this case, I think I am out of survival state, I think most of the time. And my mind is still kind of checking on me, like, oh, are we actually good? Is this like almost having difficulty breathing it?
Yes.
And about many things, but particularly about my health. Like my health has been, it was so shit, especially 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
I had difficulty walking, just functioning, holding things, and like really felt like a 9-year-old grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And the physical pain, emotional pain was so, I mean, I had physical pain for the easily more than three years of the last 4 years, like
yes.
At the minimum level of 3-4 every day.
Yes.
So I also understand, like, it absolutely makes sense that my body is like, oh, like, is it okay now? And like, I'm kind of allowing it to be there and like kind of using it like, okay, so what, like, still fixing. I'm like, if I sleep well, I don't have inflammation and then like things are better.
Yeah.
But like my mind is really having difficulty to adjusting to not being in fight or flight.
Yeah.
So perhaps my question is more about like how, what do you think on better navigating that?
How do I train my body, my mind, my nervous system to hold goodness?
Yes. Not, I think I am actually, I love what you said. Like, I am addicted to suffering. I'm addicted to, yeah.
Yes. This is a thing.
And I somehow gain things from it. Like, it's gained me the attention that I needed for myself, from my mother.
Yeah.
I somehow enjoyed being the seeker for a while, which is crazy because I was saying, no, I don't want to be this.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Yes.
It was my excuse not to do things that I don't want to do.
Yes.
Not go to the feelings thing, like I didn't want to feel because I was like, I'm already in so much physical pain. It was an excuse.
Yes.
So it has become my safe space, which is now crazy. I mean, I've been saying it like layer by layer, but now it is more clear than ever. It's like I'm not used to not being in survival. I think I've been in that state for, I'm 32 now, almost, like most of those 32 years.
I'm so glad that we get to come here, because this is such a big part of being me. And it might not be obvious at the first glance or even the first round for someone like of it, but this is why I mix in pleasure. That's why we do like sexual energy activation. And when I say pleasure, that doesn't have to be sexual pleasure, right? But it's anything that you, if we define pleasure as anything that you can enjoy through your senses. So whether that's touch or a beautiful sunrise or a cup of coffee or, you know, whatever it is. So sensuality, you could call it. But experiencing pleasure in your body, because this is a big part of rewiring, being hooked on suffering. So that's the embodiment of like rewiring yourself, being a part of you really enjoying suffering, because there will be parts like that. So when we kind of turn the page on like the darkest time of the year in December, and when we go into doing like a death rebirth process, we're going to tap into the parts of you that have enjoyed suffering. And we're going to give them a birthday party. And we're going to do like existential kink, like coming from Carolyn Elliott, who's now Carolyn Lovewell. But her book, Existential Kink. And I've been doing this practice for many, many years. But when I read her book, she's like, oh, this is brilliant. She's just put it together and crystallized it, what this process is. But it is meeting your shadow, meaning the parts that your mind doesn't want to comprehend. Just like you expressed, I have parts that have enjoyed this, that have enjoyed being a victim and feeling small so that I don't have to take responsibility myself, or that I can keep blaming others for things, or that I can keep, you know, feeling small.
I have parts that enjoy this.
Oh, all right, yeah, we are back.
Yeah, I saw it. It froze a bit.
Okay, we are back.
Good. So bringing these into the light and like really celebrate them and embody them and throwing a dance party for them. It's really important. That's an important part of rewiring yourself. Because if they don't have their needs met, yeah, they're going to stay there in the shadow and try to get it the same way. And that is when we might notice self-sabotaging, so-called self-sabotaging patterns. Okay, I'm having all the goodness, but now I go create drama in my relationship. Oh, I'm feeling really good at work, so I go create something consciously or unconsciously. So it's actually like that tolerance to goodness. So meeting the shadow parts is one important piece. And then rewiring yourself to pleasure. Growing your tolerance to pleasure. And that's why we're already now in being me, right? We are looking for what's working. We're starting to rewire the brain to like, instead of going for what's not working, what's the problem, and what do I need to keep safe from? Like, we're starting to look for what's good, what I like. So inside of being me, this is like seeped from the first day. You're already doing it.
But yeah, there's going to come a time where we're like, fuck, I was feeling good. And then I went creating something. I created some suffering for myself. And when we can start bringing that up into the light and say, yeah, that's the thing. Ooh, I have a part that's like calling, just want to tear everything apart. Or, ooh. And when we can start accepting that part as well and meeting its needs, then it will start to be willing to do it differently. Yeah. So basically, like, you're doing that, and there will be more of doing that inside Being Me. And the death rebirth process that if anyone listening are like, ooh, I want that. Yeah, you're able to join that as well, because we're opening it up, because it's such an important piece to, like, being the artist of your life. If you don't want to be the victim anymore, but you actually want to be that creator of what you want more of, then dying and meeting with these shadow parts is so important. Like, dying is life affirming. It's the transformation of energy from one form to another. And if you want to be the artist of your life, like, that's a tool you need in your toolbox. So we're going to go in there and really also face our fear of dying, because that's usually what's holding us back, right? We're holding on to all the things because we're afraid. Our mind, and collectively and culturally, we've given death a meaning that scares us.
I am so looking forward to that.
Me too. I love dying. Yeah. That's usually a very powerful process for people. And it helps us move through periods like that in our life, even if it's facing death in the external with people around us, or when we're facing an inner death of some kind, like an ego death, and other parts start to be very scared. Because they're like, what's happening, and who am I without all this? And so there's usually a time, there will be a time on your inner journey where you face that kind of ego death fear. So this is how you move through it. So once you know how to, once you have a process for that, it's going to be a lot easier, and you can use it when you want to let go of any old iteration of yourself.
I remember, I think, listening about this process from you, like, in the podcast almost a year ago.
Yeah.
And then I think I had an idea of what it might be like. I still, I think, don't, until I guess I see how the process is in a couple of weeks. Yeah. But it means more to me now. And because I had such a big need, like, last year around this time, to let go of parts of me. And with the diagnosis also, and then I changed so much in very good ways, in many ways.
Yeah.
I was like, who the fuck I am? I'm not that. It's just like, I really didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
And I needed something like that. So when I heard you speak about it, I was like, this sounds like something, like the thing I need. So I kind of created my own version of that process.
Love it.
And let go of those things, which was amazing. And I can only imagine, like, how much more complete I'm going to feel with the one coming up.
Yes. And then keep modeling your unique process, right? You can take little pieces of what you did and, like, but this felt really good. So
just kind of giving you something to keep creating from. Yeah, because this happens all the time. We're just not aware of it in the mind program that we've created for ourselves and collectively and culturally. We die all the time.
All the time.
Cells are dying in the body, right?
Yeah.
But also you're not 10 anymore and you're not 20 anymore. Some of us have those versions of ourselves very alive inside of us, but there's like this, we are leaving old iterations of ourselves, right? Who we was when we were a child with our parents. And then we grow up and we're like, I'm not that anymore. Just like you said, then who am I? And this is stepping more into the river of life. Instead of holding on to an identity, I am this and I am who I've always been. And this is, you know, my personality and this is how I function. Like, no, when you can start leaving that behind, life can also move you into what's next. And it's going to be scary because we're going to hold on and we're like, but I just created this beautiful thing and this relationship and this version and this life and this and this and this. But life's got other plans for us. This is a fear we get to meet with again and again, and like a clinging and an attachment that the mind has. And then we get to just move through it in an embodied way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. Gonna be so much fun because I tend to like, let's make death fun. Let's have some fun in there too. Doesn't have to be this serious thing. No, like I said, we're gonna go in and meet with some juicy parts. Yeah, kind of brag about them and yeah, find pleasure in them. I've enjoyed this conversation so much. Like I said, for you to have the time to digest and just like, out of the swamp. Like, how does that feel? And just feeling this sense of contentment and like joy and peace. So so important to be with that, to sit with that. And the mind might like, okay, so what's next? What's the next thing? But like, be with what's here. Feel this, experience this. So it's been a pleasure to be here with you today.
Pleasure is all mine.
Anything else before you go today?
Maybe something short tomorrow after the party. But yeah, today I feel also so happy, like very grateful that I also bragged about it. Like that kind of feels complete, that I'm like, oh, actually, I am really kind of out of it. It's like, good, yes, it's happening.
Otherwise, if the mind keeps playing the old program, it's easy to skip it and we didn't even notice that we were feeling good and that we were out of it. So this is part of your question too. Like, how do I rewire my system to hold the goodness? This is it. Like, digest it, brag, celebrate it, experience it. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you.
I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening. And if this was helpful to you, I appreciate a review in the podcast app that you're using. Until next week.